From NPR News in Washington, I'm Craig Windham. Republican state senators in Wisconsin have passed a plan to strip public employees there of most of their collective bargaining rights. They used a legislative maneuver to pass the bill last night without the presence of any of the Democratic lawmakers who fled the state to try to block the plan. The vote was held abruptly, prompting an outcry from protesters who marched into the state capitol building despite efforts by police to bar them from entering. Democratic State Senator Lena Taylor says she is outraged by the way the bill was pushed through.
In an ugly way. I mean, in the dark of the night, they took away workers' rights.
But Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker says efforts by Democrats to scuttle the bill are not in the best interest of the state.
What they want to do is take away any of the substantive collective bargain reform. If you do not pass major reforms in collective bargaining, local governments will not be able to balance their budgets.
The state assembly in Wisconsin is expected to approve the Senate version of the legislation today. Foreclosure activity is down sharply nationwide. The Realty Track research firm says the number of properties in some stage of foreclosure fell 14% last month. NPR's Jack Spear reports the decline comes in large part because major banks have been scaling back foreclosures while they overhaul the whole process.
The number of properties receiving some form of foreclosure notification last month, either a default notice, scheduled auction, or bank repossession, totaled just over 225,000. That's down substantially from January, but down by an even larger 27% from the same month last year. Nevada, for the 50th straight month, had the nation's highest foreclosure rate, with one in every 119 homes there receiving a foreclosure filing. Arizona had the second highest rate, followed by California and Utah. California still continues to account for the bulk of all foreclosures, roughly 25% of the nation's total. Jack Spear, NPR News, Washington.
Defense Secretary Robert Gates and his NATO counterparts are meeting in Brussels today, as are European foreign ministers. NPR's Eric Westervelt reports NATO officials say discussions are focusing on a range of options for dealing with the conflict in Libya. Those options include the possibility of imposing a no-fly zone over that country.
The U.S. ambassador to NATO, Ivo Dalder, says intensive planning is well underway for humanitarian and other assistance for Libya.
And it includes looking at options for a no-fly zone. Let me stress that this is planning, not a decision to act, but to provide the preparations necessary so that if we decide to act, we can do so forthwith.
But there's still no diplomatic consensus on whether a no-fly zone over Libya is really needed. Some diplomats stress there has to be, quote, demonstrable need on the ground and that fighting has not reached the point where such intervention is warranted. Eric Westervelt, NPR News, Brussels.
This is NPR News from Washington. Senate leaders from both parties say they'll try to find common ground on spending cuts, but the gap between Democrats and Republicans remains wide. The Senate has voted down both GOP and Democratic spending plans. They were nearly $50 billion apart in how much spending should be cut over the next 7 months. Democratic Senator Claire McCaskill of Missouri says the $5 billion in cuts proposed by her party are not nearly enough.
There are way too many people in denial around here about the nature of the problem and how serious it is.
But three Republican senators, all members of the Tea Party movement, voted against the GOP spending bill because they felt its $60 billion in spending cuts didn't go far enough. The stopgap spending bill currently funding the federal government expires at the end of next week. The House Homeland Security Committee this morning holds the first in what its chairman says will be a series of hearings on what he calls the radicalization of American Muslims. NPR's Brian Naylor says Republican Peter King of New York is pledging not to back down in the face of criticism of those hearings.
In an email to his supporters obtained by the New York Times, King says he will, quote, not back down to the hysteria created by my opponents. King is being criticized for focusing on Muslims rather than taking a broader look at the terror threat against the nation. Scheduled to testify is Democratic Congressman Keith Ellison, one of two Muslim members of Congress. Also set to appear are two men who had family members who became radicalized. One was arrested after a shooting that killed a soldier at an Army recruiting office in Arkansas. The other was killed in Somalia. Brian Naylor, NPR News, Washington.
The Food and Drug Administration has approved the first new drug to treat lupus in more than 50 years. It's designed to relieve flare-ups and pain caused by the ailment. I'm Craig Windham, NPR News.